This is Elevations, bringing new perspectives to science, technology, education, and the arts. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds. How do infectious diseases relate to zombies? Today's guest, Dr. Tara Smith, researches this question.
I was actually asked a few years ago to be part of the advisory board for the Zombie Research Society, in part because they had no experts on infectious disease.
Dr. Smith is a professor in the College of Public Health at Kent State. Welcome, Tara.
Thank you.
So tell me, what is the Zombie Research Society? I have to say, I've never heard of that.
Right. So it was put together by filmmaker and author called Matt Moak. He also has a children's book on zombies. And he was just really interested in zombies in general. And while he was doing some of his films, he was looking for experts who could talk about zombies, talk about mostly the neurobiology, like how zombie brains are affected and why do they moan and why do they shamble and things like that. And, you know, the biology of them, could they really come back to life, reanimate, walk around, those types of things. So he started out with a number of neurobiologists and some other zombie authors on the advisory board, also George Romero, who did Night of the Living Dead. So then I came on board, like I said, when he realized he didn't have any infectious disease experts, and most zombie movies and TV shows in modern day have some kind of infectious cause.
How realistic is that, a zombie-like infection?
Yeah, mostly not. So, especially the ones where the people actually die and reanimate. Ones like 28 Days Later are a little bit more realistic because they're just infected with a virus that makes them, you know, ragey, homicidal. So that's kind of akin to what we see with rabies in, like, animals.
Okay.
So there is at least some biological plausibility there, even though, you know, whether that would actually happen in humans, probably not.
What diseases currently mimic or come close to something we might identify as zombie? You sort of mentioned a couple,
right,
but are there others that you think about if, you know, we were to talk about parallels?
Mm-hmm. Rabies is usually the big one that is invoked because it does cause aggression and it is spread by saliva, by bite. So it's similar in a lot of ways to a zombie infection. The other one that's gotten a lot of traction in the last couple of years is a fungal infection called cordyceps. Huh. And so this is an insect fungus where they get it through the air. And it basically makes them kind of slaves to the fungus. So what it causes them to do is when they're infected with this cordyceps, they'll climb up to, like, the tallest, you know, stalks of grass or trees or things like that in their area. And basically the fungus then immobilizes them and grows out of their body and sporulates so that it is spread through the air all over, like, the colony of ants or whatever. So there have been some stories. There was a book called The Girl with All the Gifts and a video game called The Last of Us that used cordyceps fungus as a model for zombies.
I would imagine that, I don't know that we talk a lot about antifungals, right, or those kinds of medications, but antibiotics are often, I think, a part of the discussion when we think about resistant diseases and things that could impact outbreaks and things like this. So what are your thoughts on the use of antibiotics and how that relates to this
right,
problem?
Right, right. So there haven't been very many zombie stories that use bacteria as their cause. There's actually one that uses Yersinia pestis, so the bacterium that causes plague, that set it on the Titanic. So they suggested that the wreck of the Titanic was due to actually a zombie outbreak. So you would use antibiotics potentially to treat that. But with most of the models being viruses, I mean, most viruses don't have any treatments. And yeah, the fungal ones, we don't have a lot of treatment for fungal diseases as well. So they're a little bit two separate spheres. Although if you had, you know, some kind of secondary bacterial infection from a zombie bite that you could actually survive, then you would want antibiotics that worked for that.
Are there a lot of really dangerous pathogens out there, things that we should be concerned about and think about? You know, a lot of people, I guess, might think of Ebola, mm-hmm. but things that have this sort of public health outbreak sort of component to them that really frighten people.
Yeah. I mean, Ebola definitely gets mentioned, but even with the, you know, fairly massive outbreak of Ebola in 2013 through 2016, that killed about 11,000 people. Every year, on average, in the United States, influenza kills about 20,000 people. So we think of that as, you know, a run-of-the-mill disease. People get flu. You've known people that have gotten flu and survived it. But really, that is more deadly in the United States every year than the Ebola outbreak was. So so those are the types of things that we worry about in public health much more rather than something a little bit more exotic and rare like Ebola.
So do you think if there were a zombie-based flu outbreak, we would get people to pay more attention and perhaps go get their flu shots?
Yeah, well, that would be scarier because flu spreads, of course, through the air, right? So you can cough and sneeze and get infected with flu. And typically with the zombie viruses, you know, you need a bite. So you need that close contact. Whereas flu, it's much easier to spread. So yeah, maybe that would raise awareness and convince people that it's actually serious.
And maybe scarier than zombies.
Yes.
Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
We've been talking with Dr. Tara Smith, professor in the College of Public Health at Kent State. Elevations is produced by Joe Gunderman, John Nungesser, and Ellie Ellis. I'm your host, Amy Reynolds, Dean of Kent State's College of Communication and Information. Join us every Saturday morning at 7 on 89.7 WKSU.